Well, I said, welcome to you all. It's good to see you, but not as good as when it's face to face. Welcome to Zion's Zoom worship. It works, even though it's not as good as it could otherwise be. Let me put on my glasses. You know, I haven't gotten my eyes checked since I had my surgery, and I still don't see well. It's a good day, even though sometimes it's hard for us to realize it. But every day is a good day. They're gifts from God. And we can make of them what we will. The theme today is hope, based on a passage from Isaiah that I'll be reading later. In the last few weeks, especially in this run-up to the election, I have been thinking very soberly about hope and about the things that we trust. And I have wondered if we aren't tempted to idolize some of the things we trust. We can trust in God, but there are lots of other things that we can trust. I think the Israelites in the Old Testament, when it says they worshiped other gods, it wasn't so much turning their back on Yahweh. It was just adding some others in. I mean, Baal brings us good weather. Let's pray to him too. So what is it that we put our trust in? Do we trust our country? Do we trust our leaders? Do we trust our wealth, our safety, our education, our justice system? Do we trust science, technology, our healthcare system? We're in a very dark time, and we do look about for things to trust. But I also have become aware of the fragility of all of these things. Not that I want to diminish the value of them, they are important, but they can't be the things we put our trust in. Would you pray with me? Have mercy on us, O God, have mercy. According to your loving kindness, have mercy on us. Purge us with hyssop, and we'll be clean. Wash us, and we'll be whiter than snow. Have mercy on us, O God, have mercy on us. Amen.
That's it. Please join us for singing.
Thank you.
Hear these words as we light the mercy, peace, and justice candle this morning. Lord, may your justice flow like a river, reaching barren lands and sun-scorched deserts, where people feel forgotten and hopeless. Lord, let your water of life comfort them, where children lie abandoned or abused. Let your water of life protect them. Where communities suffer the hands of prejudice, let your water of life shield them, Lord. We ask for a mighty downpour from heaven. May your sons and daughters hear your voice. May we live as you lead us to live and go as you bid us to go. Serve as you inspire us to serve. Give as you teach us to give. Until the earth is covered with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Amen.
Help us remember that we can be full of hope as we pray and talk to you. Let us remember your promises and faithfulness. Amen.
Thank you, Eliza, for that story, and thank you to all the children who are here to see and to listen. Bill's message today is going to be based in part, at least, on the 26th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah has been thinking and writing about oppression and oppressors and enslavers. He's been writing about Assyria and Chaldea and Babylon and Egypt. All of the people that historically Israel has suffered under. But today, in this passage, he's turning his eyes to the future, and he's talking about hope. So let's hear him. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps faith, may enter in. Thou dost keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. We could say we there instead of he. Thou dost keep us in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed on thee, because we trust in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. For he has brought low the inhabitants of the height and the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground and casts it to the dust. The foot tramples it, and the foot of the poor, and the steps of the needy. The way of the righteous is level. Thou dost make smooth the path of the righteous in the path of thy judgments. O Lord, we wait for thee. Thy memorial name is the desire of our soul. My soul yearns for thee in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks thee. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. If favor is shown to the wicked, he doesn't learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he deals perversely and does not see the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, thy hand is lifted up, but they see it not. Let them see thy zeal for thy people and be ashamed, for the fire of thy adversaries consume them. O Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. Thou hast wrought for us. All our works.
Good morning, everyone. This morning we are continuing in the book of Isaiah. Ken, thank you for your words and sharing and speaking the text to us this morning. I appreciate that. And Eliza, thank you for the children's story, and maybe we can just wrap things up, because that was a good sermon right there in that children's story, certainly. So I really do appreciate those words this morning. During this interim time, we've been talking about tasks and mission and vision, and I recognize that Zion Mennonite Church desires to be welcoming to all. And this morning, we had a visitor in the building that needed to be escorted away. I'm thankful that Craig was here to help escort this visitor out of the building this morning. Although we say we're welcoming to all, this morning, we encountered in the hallway a guest. This guest was a snake. And so, thankfully, we were able to give freedom to the snake and allow it to be escorted out of the building. So we are welcoming to all, absolutely. Snakes, however, we'll have to talk to you individually, case by case. No policy set on snakes at this point. The hope of perfect peace. As I was studying Isaiah, and I've been in the book knowing this series was coming up, and knowing that we wanted to try and glean some understanding, some truth of God's word, make it applicable to us. Last Sunday, we were in Isaiah chapter 6. Again, understanding Isaiah, speaking to a people, the people of God, the Israelites, and they were just about to enter into this time of shifting, changing. A political world was in upheaval, not sure what was going to be around the next corner. It almost felt like chaos was ready to come upon them. Maybe these are good words for 2020. So in Isaiah chapter 7, Isaiah is prophesying, and he's prophesying here to Ahaz. So Ahaz was the son of Jotham, who was the son of Uzziah. Uzziah, who we talked about last week in chapter 6 of Isaiah. So in chapter 7, he's prophesying to Ahaz, and he's trying to give Ahaz some encouragement, because Ahaz is facing some turmoil. There's enemies trying to get Ahaz on their side and giving him all kinds of ultimatums. And in this, God speaks to Isaiah and says in verse 7, or in chapter 7, verse 3, go out. This is to Isaiah. The Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, to meet Ahaz. That's this king of Israel, at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. So there's an actual space, and we know where that's at if you want to look that up. But verse 4 is what I came upon and thought, wow, here's some words. Isaiah was to say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. And he goes on to talk about the enemies, those that are coming against Ahaz. But that Isaiah chapter 7, verse 4, I thought would be, that's a verse for 2020, friends, right there. Be careful, and we need to be careful. Keep calm, and I don't know what's around the next corner. I don't know what's going to happen this week. I guess there's going to be some things, some challenges in our world this week that might cause anxiety and cause us not to be calm. So that word of keep calm, don't be afraid, don't lose heart. If we're to do that, if you and I are to take those words and say, yeah, okay, I can do that, I think we're going to need hope, and we're going to need clarity of that hope. And that hope that comes from a peace of heart, knowing that our hearts are in tune and set with God, along with peace in our minds. So in that, I look to Isaiah 26 now, in this chapter of turning the corner, as Ken said, of getting out of all these chapters from chapter 12 to chapter 23, 24 included, where it's just, if you read through that, it's this burdensome, this overwhelming sense of God's judgment, of how awful it is. And remember, in the book of Isaiah, we have these themes going throughout the book of God's judgment because people are rebellious, and God's grace because we're looking forward to the day of the Lord. One commentator says this. He says, there are many magnificent chapters in our Bibles. Perhaps all of them are such because they depict something about the greatness of our God. Some unfold his love or grace or power or some other facet of God's being. A few are majestic because they unfold God's infinite, terrible wrath. To truly read them is to tremble. And we see that in some of these chapters in Isaiah, chapter 24, and some ahead too, 34 and 63. But this author goes on to say, after 11 chapters of heavy oracles, God's judgment against the nations, chapter 24 is that final judgment. And then turning the page, Isaiah 25, 26, and 27 are again seeing God's grace and the hope in chapter 26. Of perfect peace. Verse 3 is really where we can pull this out of, this understanding of hope that comes from a perfect peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3, keeping our mind steadfast, perfect peace, if we can do that, because of our trust in God. God wants our total trust. No empty, pious-sounding words. No, he commands our absolute confidence. There is no area that he is unable to handle. God is a specialist in every circumstance, including yours today. You will keep in perfect peace. God will do this, is what Isaiah is proclaiming. When our minds are steadfast, when we're focused, when we're tuning in, to trusting in God. Reminds me of a sermon series we did earlier from Philippians. And in Philippians chapter 4, these exhortations that are being given to us and rejoicing in God and rejoicing and letting our gentleness be evident to all. But it says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that is the kind of peace that each of us can have, this perfect peace in our relationship with God through Jesus, and so that we can have hope in that regardless of what's going on around us, in our families or in our world, whatever may come. And we've experienced so much change and things happening that we weren't ready for, and the unexpected this year. And I would like to say, and be a prophet, and say no more unexpected for the next 5 years in our lives. But that's not going to be the case. It is more than likely that this week will bring some things that we're not expecting. We have these elections coming up, and I just get a sense, regardless of what, who wins, who loses, what it looks like nationally, through our state, even locally, there's going to be some things happening that will cause unrest in us, in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds. And if we're going to be able to navigate through that in a way that recognizes God and the glory of God, in the depths of our being must be this peace, this perfect peace that comes through this relationship with God. Psalm 22:5 says, "To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame." Again, trusting in God. Isaiah brings this up several times throughout the book of trusting, of being people and calling people to trust. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation." I want to be able to rest in that today, this week. And taking that rest in God as a sign of hope towards perfect peace. Even when things around me are going crazy, going haywire. Now there's an interesting phrase, haywire. Where does that come from? Would be an interesting search. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. So someone can look that up. Craig and Jan are in the building this morning. They think they're pretty sure it comes from Texas, haywire. So we'll hear more about that later. But it is that sense that we have lost complete control of what's happening going on around us. And what I see God calling the Israelites to in Isaiah chapter 25 is to be able to, in the midst of all of that, to be careful. Keep calm, don't be afraid, don't lose heart. But God wants all of our complete trust. And this trust in verse 4, Isaiah 26 verse 4, is defined more in this understanding that it is forever. Trust in the Lord forever. And then this image of the rock eternal. One of my favorite spots to go to in Oregon, probably the world, well, that's a big statement, is to go to Cannon Beach. And in Cannon Beach, if you've been there, you know there's a big old rock that sits out in the ocean, Haystack Rock. And there are times in my life when things have seemed pretty chaotic. And it almost feels like if I could just get to walk the beach at Cannon Beach and see Haystack Rock, that would somehow ease all the tension around me. And I have some times in my life that has indeed happened. But when I look at that rock, it's not about the formation on the beach as much as it is about the reminder of who God is. Eternal, solid, trusting in that rock. Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." So the hope of perfect peace is to come back to the evidence, to come back to the realization, the recognition of this relationship that we have with a God who is like this rock, a refuge. And when the storms of life seem to be stirring around us and about to overtake us, to cling on to that rock which is God, solid. Isaiah continues to shift between judgment and grace. And here's this sense of grace coming upon us. But even in Isaiah 26, the judgment is still there. In verses 5 and 6, he talks about the judgment. But then he follows it up, verses 7 and 8, with the grace. And so these two continue to interchange in the book of Isaiah as he is prophesying. And prophecy of Isaiah is very interesting because oftentimes what we see in prophecy is the prophet is speaking words without ever really knowing or seeing the whole picture. Because Isaiah speaks words to the people of his time, and there's fulfillment in his time. But he's also speaking words as we look particularly around the verses that are proclaiming Jesus and Jesus coming as a baby. And so he's prophesying about that, and we see that happen. But he also talks in prophecy for things that are yet to come, this day of the Lord that continues to be out in front of us, a time when Jesus will come again, and talking about all of what goes on in our world around those times. But even in that, Isaiah is asking and proclaiming that we can have peace and trust in God. It was N.T. Wright who wrote these words. He said, "Heaven is the control room of earth." And I find that interesting. He's not saying that that God controls everything and that we're just robots down here being controlled by God. But what he is saying is that when things on earth seem to not be having any kind of sense or order, that God is indeed in control. So what do I do with this week? I mean, what about these elections? What's going to happen? I don't know. And what about the rest of 2020? What's going to happen? I mean, 2020 seems like it's just been one thing after the other. But what if June of 2021, we look back and think, oh, I wish it were 2020 again. I mean, we have no guarantee that things will be better next year than they were this year. I mean, I hope we don't look back in the middle of 2021 and say, man, I wish we could go back to 2020, because I don't know what would be going on to make us think that. But even in that, God calling us to, God encouraging us to be careful. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. Don't lose heart. And when I do lose heart, and I can see it, go back to the rock eternal. The relationship with the God Almighty through Jesus Christ. And there are times when I am afraid. And I can confess and admit I have a little bit of fear going into this week. But in that, God meets us in our fears. Sometimes he doesn't take him away, but he walks with us in them. Keep calm. I don't know what you do to keep calm in your life. I may need to go visit Cannon Beach this week to see Haystack Rock, but there's got to be things that we continue to do to bring calm into our lives. Reading God's word, staying connected with people. Some of the struggle with the social distancing right now is we just don't have that ability to be with others, to physically touch other people. And that's a way of bringing calm for some of us, for me, as long as we don't hug too much. That's gone. So we got to find other ways to stay connected and keep calm with an understanding of this is God's call in our lives and to be careful. And we continue to want to be careful in how we are interacting with one another. Part of being careful at Zion right now is we're using Zoom. We're not meeting together in the building. Can we begin to meet together in the building again? What does that look like? How do we do that in being careful? I don't have an answer for that yet either, but we're working on it because we really want people back in the building because I don't need more snakes. I need more people. God's grace evident in the book of Isaiah, but alongside of that is this continual reminder of God's judgment, God calling the people of Israel to himself, God calling us today to be close and near to God in our walk and our relationships with one another and in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, headed towards the day of the Lord. Let me pray for us as we just think about what is ahead this week. God, thank you for today, for this word from Isaiah. God, help us as your people to be careful to keep calm, to not be afraid, and to not lose heart. And God, if we start to be fearful, if we start to lose heart, if we get upset, if we become reckless, bring people into our lives, God, reminders of who you are and who you've created us to be. May we stay in step with you. Amen.
We're going to sing together this little chorus. You won't have the words to look at, but it's really simple. Jesus, Rock of Ages, let me hide myself in thee. Jesus, living water, let me drink from your flowing stream. Jesus, Rock of Ages, let me hide myself in thee. Jesus, living water, let me drink from your flowing stream. Jesus, Rock of Ages, let me hide myself in thee. Jesus, living water, let me drink from your flowing stream.